With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Jason Burmis has the power of information.
Today's news talk.
TNT.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, concerned citizens of humanity, we have another banger of a show for you today. We've got Sal Greco and my buddy Steve Poikkanen on the show. We're going to chop it up with Adam Ruckus Clark as well. And we're going to go through a bevy of issues, not only with Donnie T, the upcoming election, the upcoming trials that we still haven't gotten into, but we're going to talk the Gaza Strip. We're going to talk really this Nickelodeon scandal that's been around a very, very long time and is just gaining traction now because of the Quiet On Set docuseries that came out via Investigation Discovery. And that's why I want to start with Puff Daddy. Now, more times than not, I'm not starting a show nor talking about the Diddy himself. It was never my shebango, never my thing. Don't get me wrong. I like a little hip hop in my life. I don't post a lot of memes, but I do want to remind people that American presidents, they change. Wu-Tang is forever. So that's the deal. You know, there's good stuff out there. But at the same time, I never got into the guy. I knew there were rumors for a very long time of exactly what he was doing in the bedroom. And I want to start this whole thing with saying, if you're an adult making adult decisions, that's up to you. I really don't care who you sleep with. When you start preying on and hurting children, well, that's different altogether. Then I'll go even further than that. Even when those adult decisions are being made, if you're anywhere in the taping people without them knowing blackmail business, well, that's also extremely problematic. Now, I don't know what is true or is not true in this case. I just know what everybody else has seen now in the mainstream media. But let's start with an obscure cartoon series most people don't remember, even though it's probably the most politically relevant short run series of my generation. That's the Boondocks. The Boondocks was not afraid to say things that were politically incorrect, and its genesis actually came out of a comic strip that was nationally syndicated. It was one of the only mainline comic strips back when print was a thing that questioned the 9/11 attacks, for instance. And this series, long and long, long ago, was questioning this element of hip hop. But I would just say this to everybody. When you're in the entertainment industry and you don't understand that sex in all respects, as vile as it comes, you name it, is on the table, I don't know what to tell you. This is a long history. Were we all shocked about Will Smith and the allegations that have been made about him? People have been closeted in this arena for a very, very long time. What people still can't seem to deal with is the child abuse. And when we talk about Nickelodeon, we also have to talk about the Disney kids, Bella Thorne amongst them. I mean, this is somebody who's still in the industry and has gone on television shows, written a book, and talked about the fact that she was being abused from the time she was 6 years old to 14, and nobody around her was doing anything. And how did that come into the conversation? She was annoyed at the host, who was like, "Do you think the paparazzi following you is a big deal?" And she's like, "Yeah, I don't really care about the paparazzi. I was sexually abused from the time I was a toddler," basically. Like, wow, that's where we're really at. That's how dark it actually gets. And I would just like to remind people, most of these people, that even when they're caught, they don't do any time. Watch that series on Nickelodeon. We're going to get into it. But I want to remind everybody, hey, I love The Usual Suspects. From what I've seen, Bryan Singer should be in a prison and not on board to, I don't know, direct any more movies or be in the entertainment industry. And his buddy, Kevin Spacey, who's done a really good job in a lot of his stuff as an actor, I'm not so sure about him either. Tucker, poor choice of an interview. I'm just saying, Tucker, I get it. You wanted to do the Frank Underwood, dirty politics character. Not the thing to do. We're about to hit up on a quick bumper. I want to remind people to please give us a follow all across the board. You're on the Facebook, do that. X, anything you got, whether you're on Truth Social, Getter, Gab, we've got social media. Repost the shows, let people know, cut clips, share them with others, and really be the information warriors TNT Radio needs you to be. We'll be back with Adam Ruckus after this.
There's a lot going on, so it's important to stay informed and up to date.
Get ready, because here we go.
At the top, 30 minutes past and when it breaks.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Now, according to the results of a new Gallup poll, more than half of Americans disapprove of Israel's military action in Gaza and the atrocities being committed against Palestinians. Here with the story, joining us now is TNT News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jason. So I'm wondering, I'm curious, do you think this means that genocide will be a ballot issue this November? And that's really sad to say, because it shouldn't be. It should be something we don't do. We need to stop it now. Let's not wait till November to elect a new president and decide whether or not we're going to do anything about this. But at least it does show that we're moving in the right direction. The needle is changing, I hope. I hope it's not too little too late. But yes, officially, it appears U.S. popular support for Israel's campaign of genocide, let's just call it what it is, in the Gaza Strip, it's down by 14 points since November of 2023. It is slipping fast. According to a Gallup opinion poll, which was conducted between March 1st and March 20th, so just in like, 19, 20 days? I can't do math like that. Only 36% of respondents said that they approve of Israel's military actions in Gaza, while 55% say, no, thank you, they disapprove. Discontent, according to the Cradle here, I'm going to report some thoughts about this. They say that discontent with Israel's war crimes in Gaza has grown in the U.S. regardless of party lines. It shows that in the Gallup poll, because it is spread across all three major parties. Nevertheless, it appears Republicans are more steadfast in their support for Tel Aviv. What a surprise. Who did not see that coming? Anyways, the most significant drop in support for Israel came among independent and Democrat voters, further complicating U.S. President Joe Biden's uphill battle. And that's got to suck because, you know, everything's a battle for that guy these days, including stairs and sandbags. His uphill battle ahead of the November elections. Among his base of support, 18% of supporters, just 18% approve of the ongoing genocide in Gaza, while 75% disapprove. Yikes. This latest poll comes as public tensions grow between Washington and Tel Aviv. On Monday, the United States, for the first time, refused to veto a resolution at the UN Security Council for a ceasefire in Gaza, sending Israeli officials into a spiral. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told his Israeli counterpart Yoav Gallant in remarks in front of the press this week, quote, Gaza is suffering a humanitarian catastrophe and the situation is getting even worse, end quote. Although some U.S. officials are beginning to criticize Israel's military strategy in Gaza publicly, military and political cover for Tel Aviv has not diminished. And again, quoting here from the Cradle, on the same day the U.S. abstained at the UN Security Council, State Department spokesman Matthew Miller insisted that Washington currently has no reason to dispute Israeli assurances that it was complying with humanitarian law in Gaza, saying, quote, we have not found them to be in violation of international humanitarian law, either when it comes to the conduct of the war or when it comes to the provision of humanitarian assistance. Hey, real quick, speaking about that, we've been doing like this airdrop thing. And not that long ago, there was this problem where I think like a number of people died when the the airdrops dropped on top of their heads and killed them while they were waiting for the food. So they have a new tactic, Jason. They've been dropping it in the middle of the ocean. Well, I'm sad to report that, unfortunately, that didn't help because we have 12 people who drowned on Monday while trying to access that aid. There were others, I believe, who died. It wasn't just 12. 18 people died while trying to desperately access this humanitarian aid that we're just dropping so lovingly from the sky. I guess it is nice to be dropping humanitarian food packages rather than bombs, though. But what say you, my friend?
Well, I want to start this whole conversation with, I don't love seeing rave kids running around screaming during an attack on October 7th. But right away, I said that the response was not going to be a week or a month. In fact, I didn't know how long it's going on, but it's going on 6 months now. And quite frankly, with some of the videos that have now come out with the death from above via robots that have leaked out via the Israeli military. In other words, people are seeing that civilians are being targeted and murdered from the sky. They're putting that out there. And then I watched this Wolf Blitzer clip, and I've never been a fan of Blitzer, but even Wolf Blitzer's like, you know, in this conversation where they say they killed one member of Hezbollah, they took out an entire refugee camp. And even Wolf Blitzer's like, but you know there are women and children there, right? You understand that. And there is just no recourse for that. Look, the bottom line is I don't like death. And I don't like turmoil in the Middle East. I don't like really going after the hornet's nest. And I don't want to commit U.S. troops into that area. I even question how that attack occurred in the manner that it did on October 7th that triggered this whole thing. Call me a kooky conspiracy theorist, but I'd like to know the activities and drills of the U.S. Special Forces that were already on the ground for training. I would also like to know why there was such a failure of the Iron Dome that has been touted as a technological wonder since I learned about the military-industrial complex. And then the response of the Israelis on the ground themselves seemed quite delayed. I'll just be honest about it, you know. And when it did happen, obviously they were not prepared for it in the manner. And you know, there was a lot of friendly fire deaths there as well. You know, that's also something the media refused to talk about. So I want some kind of a peaceful resolution. I don't love exactly what Israel did to its own people during the COVID-19 84 nightmare. It was one of the most restrictive places with vaccine passports. So I think we need to treat this as a political issue of a nation state that is obviously allied with the U.S. But when we talk about the U.S. and the Middle East, do we have the best track record? Should we really be getting involved there? Or should we become not so much an isolationist, but less of an interventionist? And you mentioned even at the United Nations recently that the United States did not veto the bill. Well, they abstained from voting also. So they could have voted yes or no on whether there should be a ceasefire. And instead, they just abstained. I don't think all the political moves in the world is going to make this look good for Biden, but I don't think Biden's running anything. And I don't think Biden has a real base. So the question is, how far will they push the left and the Democrats into voting for somebody like an RFK Jr., somebody on the green ticket in the independent arena, or God forbid, Mr. White Supremacy himself, Donald Trump?
Oh, no, Orange Man. Don't go there, Jason. How dare you?
Oh!
Actually, even he's actually had to come out and make public statements about this. He did an interview over the weekend and, you know, people ran with it and made it look like, oh, look, even Donald Trump says it's a genocide. That's not what he said. But he did say some things that normally, like, wow, that's different. Right. So that has repercussions. He's got a rather large base of fans, I would suggest, an audience. That
I think some of his moves, Adam, some of his moves in Israel were terrible. The Golan Heights move, I did not love. Even making Jerusalem the capital, very dangerous. But when even Donald Trump, who a lot of people don't understand, but Sheldon Adelson, who's no longer with us and very much a part of the Israeli lobby and their interests, was his largest donor. And, you know, let's be honest. Not that great things happened in that region, but nothing like this happened in that region. At the same time, I don't love the sharpshooter program also in Israel. Again, when we're talking about robotic checkpoints where they shoot non-lethal munitions at suspected terrorists. If you're not aware of sharpshooter, I'd tell people to check it out. So again, I want a peaceful resolution. What say you?
Oh, absolutely. I do as well. And I would like one as soon as possible, because this type of stuff could easily lead us into World War III or be an excuse for, like, you know, terror events here on our soil. They could be like, oh, gosh, how did this happen? All these undocumented people, where'd they come from all of a sudden? You know, like, oh, boom. Oops. How'd that happen? Next thing you know, cargo ships are crashing into bridges. Oh, sorry. But yeah, it's a wild world, Jason. And the one thing that you said, what you don't like, I don't like any of those things either. I also don't like what this story, this event has done to the alternative independent media. There are folks that we used to be friends, and this has caused this schism thanks to the impressive amount of propaganda and fake news that has come out. I mean, we're just barely now officially being told from the mainstream media that, guess what? Yeah, beheaded baby story was a lie. Oh, yeah, the thing about the rapes, turns out that was a lie. Well, the damage is done. We've lost friends over that. When we were trying to say that's fake news, and they're like, no, my emotion tells me that's real. You know, look what they did to even us, Jason. Sad to say.
Well said, my friend, and that's why I always take a step back and I try to have a conversation about what we can agree about and not jump to judgment. We got to hit a commercial break before when we come back. We got Sal Greco, really great guy. He's somebody who was persecuted for his friends, former NYPD officer. Back after this with more TNT Radio.
TNT's Chris Smith.
I can tell you that Donald Trump is projected to win primaries in the states of Texas, Minnesota, Colorado, Virginia, Maine, Massachusetts, Arkansas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and North Carolina. And in a little bit of a turn up, the northeastern state of Vermont looks to have gone to his rival, his final rival, the former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley. Now, Nikki Haley's team has said that she won't be speaking tonight. That has been construed by many of the reporters in that location as she's about to exit the race in the next 24 hours.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
Listen, we gotta talk.
It's what we do best.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
For those that don't know, Sal Greco was persecuted for his friendships. He was a 14-year veteran of the NYPD, and they don't like who he's having dinner with. He's also the host of the Sal Greco Show. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. Let's start with the presidential election right now. Donald Trump's actually running for president. He basically curb stomped any kind of competition, no matter how well funded it was, into submission. They would have loved to ride Haley all the way out. Impossible. Shows how popular the guy is. On the other end, we got Joe Biden. I don't know if he's really running for president. They're telling me he's running for president. When he's talking, it's not so much that they hail this State of the Union speech where it was mumble mouth most of the time. Not much good coming out of it. Right now, with all the things coming up against Trump, and Trump, look, again, not perfect, but saying a lot of the right things, as I was discussing with Adam right now, is Biden really running? Like we see Trump running. Does Biden have to campaign at all, or is that base just so far gone, they're just supposed to run with it, Sal?
I still think that they were operating on the logic that they were going to lawfare him into oblivion. So I think they still believe this case in New York, he'll be found guilty, they'll try to jail him. I still think they're running on that, but it, you know, I don't think they ever thought the whole thing out because, you know, trials take time. There's motions and you have to actually do it a couple of years in advance. So, you know, a trial usually go from anywhere between 2 and 3 years. They should have charged him immediately right after that impeachment, which that in itself, see, the impeachment would go against trying to charge him for anything. So they completely miscalculated this. I don't know who's running this operation per se, but we already know that we have a corrupt DA in Atlanta. You have a corrupt DA in New York. You have another corrupt DA, actually an attorney general, or whatever you want to call him, special counsel, special prosecutor in D.C. And in Florida, that other case in Florida, that may not even, like, that might, you know, there's a lot of issues there. Every case in New York, now the judge wants to gag him because that's New York City. So each case has its own issue. None of this actually makes any sense. I know a lot of leftists might say, oh, well, you know, he's guilty of something, but show us where he's guilty of any of these crimes. And in the Letitia James case, especially, where you overvalued property. I just read John Stewart did the same thing. Jason, where's his, when are they going to go after him? Is Letitia James going to go after John Stewart now?
Well, maybe they'll pick him up at the latest Daily Show that he's hosting once a week again because of his failed career. Doubtful. Doubtful. Look, I used to like, and there are still some aspects of John Stewart. You know, he worked with the Feel Good Foundation and got a lot of the first responders help, and he was part of the Zadroga bill. It's disappointing that somebody that can see that and have that kind of a heart be so wrong on such a simple political issue. But when you talk about New York, first of all, I still think there's a possibility they put him in jail. I agree with you that these trials normally, especially with a large scale figure, take years and years and years. I think the reason that they didn't charge him right out of the gates is they were trying to nudge him into not running. Period. I don't think, you know, he said it. In fact, that's a great point. He actually said the other day when he was coming out of court, I think 2-3 days ago, that none of these cases would have been brought had I just decided not to run for president again. He said they would have just let me be. I totally believe that. They would have still tried to destroy his character. When things went wrong here and there in the Biden abomination administration, every once in a while, they might even have kicked him. Well, you know, the economy under Trump. They might have given him something. Not here. Not now. And when you talk about Florida in particular, I keep thinking that may be the ace in the hole on both of them. And what do I mean, both of them? Well, number one, Joe Biden's not running the country now. Maybe the powers that shouldn't be want to appease the country and get somebody else in there that can at least speak. But if not, if they were to convict Trump on this ludicrous case with the classified documents, which, look, I agree, the guy did nothing wrong. I remember, I'm a New York kid. I remember going to Franklin Delano Roosevelt's library in, I think it was in the Hudson, you know, and that was his whole thing. And there was a curator there and here were the documents. And there's still some documents that are classified to this day. Yet he got, you know, I got him. He was the president. So Donald Trump absolutely had every right to all these documents. He was absolutely doing what he said he was doing. He wasn't colluding with the Russians or the Iranians or putting us in danger. Meanwhile, on the flip side of that coin, they've made it out that he's made some criminal case. If they convict him of that, first of all, the Espionage Act, it doesn't fall light on me that it's ironic that he didn't stop Assange from being prosecuted with the Espionage Act. He could have stopped Pompeo and the boys for going after him. And now they're charging him with the same thing as Assange. Bad news, Brown. But Biden took those documents, his classified documents, when he was the vice president, had no rights to them. And he took documents, not that, you know, were for some library or his great achievements during his vice presidency, but more than likely to cover up his corruption as a Delaware senator. A lot there. I'm throwing it to you, Sal.
Yeah, the documents he actually has pertain back to the years of him being a senator, which would be totally illegal. Those are classified documents. That in itself, you know, it's a tale of two cities. It's, you know, one way it's two-tiered justice system. They treated Joe Biden the way they came out with that whole, you know, when her came out with his ruling with him. He's basically calling him an incompetent old man that doesn't remember anything, but he wasn't charged. But yet Trump, they're saying he has to be charged, but he was the president. I don't understand this logic. And then there's also going to be challenges. There's going to be appeals. That's why all of this, none of this makes sense. And basically, as long as you could kick this past the election, which everything other than this New York City case, which is a joke, could be kicked past that, I believe. I think the Supreme Court is going to rule on that 1512, which was what a lot of these January 6th protesters were charged with, which that in itself was egregious because a lot of those people, short of you assaulting a police officer or breaking a window, it's a trespass. In New York City, that's actually a ticket. It used to be a desk appearance ticket. I don't know how this became you're overthrowing the government if you just walk in a building and walk out. So that's a whole nother story. But that charge, that 1512, which was used in the Enron case, that will get overturned by the Supreme Court. I'm highly confident that at least five of those justices are going to see that that charge cannot pertain to the January 6th, the events of that day, because you can't say you walk in a building. If people just literally were on the lawn and you're trying to say that now they're trying to overthrow the government by standing somewhere for 5 seconds and walking away. Remember, you
it's absolutely absurd. Sal, we got to take a break. It's absolutely absurd. But I do want to talk about the sentencing on that. I mean, they're not talk about not being inside or on the lawn. Tario, whether you like his politics or not, got sentenced to 2 decades for not being there. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Sal Greco after this. It's TNT Radio. More after this.
TNT Radio News.
News break.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Disney has agreed to a settlement with the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District, ending ongoing legal disputes. Former President Donald Trump's legal team has contended that Special Prosecutor Jack Smith, appointed to investigate Trump's handling of classified documents, has been provided excessive resources to the detriment of other Department of Justice initiatives. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's government faced setbacks as Skills Minister Robert Halfen and Armed Forces Minister James Heapy announced their resignations.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
And we are back with Sal Greco. Now, Sal, you were talking about the fact that the Supreme Court is going to be ruling on this 1512 thing. Basically, it's an insurrection clause. And you rightfully said, first of all, no insurrection actually happened. Nobody went there to overthrow. Like, that's imagination land. That's I was there. That is cartoon level stuff. I mean, most people, if you were in the crowd, it was a glorified Dave Matthews Band concert 90%+ of the time with a Donald Trump twist. I saw a beach ball at one time. Now, I did go up on the second level, saw some of the violence. Like you said, if anybody assaulted anybody, you charge them with assault. If they broke property, you charge them with that. Instead, you know, they put out Chansley, the QAnon shaman, there for being escorted around and stopping somebody from stealing a muffin from the snack room. I mean, he's the muffin man, folks. He did hard time. Now, on top of that, you actually do have people that, again, they have different political beliefs. You know, whether you like Joe Biggs or not, he shook a fence. That's about it. I saw him shake a fence. I didn't see him assault anybody. He certainly doesn't deserve a decade plus. Like I said, Tario gets picked up the day before, isn't even there. Again, somehow gets 2 decades. And those are just some of the most egregious examples. Now, Trump has alluded to the fact that he will pardon those people if he gets in, which he should. But this has already set a terrible precedent for the country. And in a lot of ways, that's why, whether you like Trump or not, this election matters. Because if you keep a Biden or whatever they substitute him with in, we're just going to get more of that.
Yeah, I don't like the political persecution of people. I mean, look, I've been a victim of it. Even though I was not at the Cap, I didn't partake in any of this. Just by being in a hotel, apparently, that makes you guilty of, I guess, guilty by association. I don't know, but that's where they we're getting at. And I feel for these people because, like I said, if you just wandered onto the grass, some people were like pushed by, like there were thousands of people. You're now facing years in prison for a trespass. And a lot of lawyers have alluded to this. And I believe this is one of the most egregious government overreaches that you're ever going to see. Probably maybe of all time on these people. And I think this charge of 1512, the Supreme Court will rule on this and they will take this charge out because it should have never been charged. It's an Enron thing, which means it goes back to, I believe, that's an Andrew Weissman thing. And he's got his fingerprints all over this thing because he knows a lot of these DC prosecutors. So I believe that was his brainchild. We're probably never going to know, but that charge should not be applied to these people. I know, retrospective of how people might feel about them, I don't think somebody who just happened to walk in a building for 5 seconds or maybe 1 minute, one guy I read went to the bathroom. This guy they want to put him in jail for like 9 years. He went to the bathroom and left. I mean, maybe they want him to defecate on the lawn. I don't know which one's worse, but he didn't do anything. He walked in and walked out. He used the bathroom. These are the kind of people I'm talking about. These people should not be facing this insane charge. And that's just one issue. Like, and believe me, I hate corruption. I hate government overreach. And listen, I was a cop and I know how this operates. And I just feel for this. And I think that needs to be over. When that gets overturned, now Trump's DC case becomes a problem because those two charges get wiped out. And I think it only leaves him with another two. He got charged with 4 charges, I believe, and those were the two main ones. So then how does the rest of that prosecution go? So this whole thing is a mess with Trump. They never thought this through. All they thought is we're going to put him in jail and that'll stop him from running and winning. I think that was their plan because they can't win one-on-one. They can't win. They just can't. You see his popularity. The people are solidly behind him. They are, whether people want to admit it or not. Don't go by what MSNBC tells you. Go by your gut and what you see. What do you see? I see Joe Biden goes in a crowd. First of all, he's shaking hands that don't exist. He doesn't know where he is, who's his wife, who's the sister. The guy doesn't know what planet he's on, okay? When he goes to an event, you might have 50 people, 20 people, 100 people. Maybe these people, they paid. I don't know. But when Trump goes, I've been to that event. There's thousands. There's lines around the block. Some people can't even get in. I mean, judge by your own eyes. The guy's like a rock star. Joe Biden is a guy, he's like a zombie up there.
Well, no, he's Zombie Jay. I've been talking about that for years. But he was Zombie Jay in the primaries when he was in those debates, and they still installed the guy. And you know, that's why I'm not so – I mean, you're big on the Supreme Court decision. I don't think the Supreme Court's making great decisions recently. Let's talk about some of them. For instance, you have the Missouri Biden case, right, where we know that social media was colluding. The state Supreme Court makes the right decision. They're like, this is obviously illegal. Our Supreme Court steps in and instead of backing that up says, well, we're not sure yet. Let's put it on hold. We'll get to it. We're not going to set a date when we get to it, but we'll get to it. Let's go back to 2020 when they said that the president of the United States and basically the American people had no standing to audit an election in any way, shape, or form. That's a big problem. And I always say, you know, Trump was in a place where he should have been the most powerful person, couldn't come at it with more power just to audit the election. And because of the court systems, wasn't able to do so. That's really where my biggest fear is. Now, as far as the inversion of reality, Trump walks into any state's arena at any sporting event. And like you said, he's a rock star. He goes to New York City where they're supposed to hate him. Love him. Love him. I mean, I guess Bill Burr's wife didn't love him, but that's fine. I like you still, Bill. I think you're a funny guy. You know, we could all laugh about it. But the overwhelming vast majority, it's not just Florida. It's wherever he goes. And, you know, before the 2020 election, I traveled the country. Again, believe your own eyes. But there, this is why I'm afraid, because the game is so rigged that all they need is the plausible deniability of that rig. Right. And that's what they constantly push on us. Right. Well, Joe Biden got 81 million votes because the smart people voted from home. You know, they all mailed it in. All the dummies went out there because they were going to die of the COVID-1984 virus. So my biggest fear is some, you know, and Roger talks about this. I don't know how much you talked to Roger about it, but he still thinks they're sliding the Barack star's wife in there. And that would give the plausible deniability of somebody that could maybe get 30-40% of the popular vote. And they'd be like, 60% of the popular vote, 126 million votes, Sal.
Yeah, he's still harping on. He believes Michelle Obama is going to be the nominee. I got to be honest with these guys. I think behind the scenes, they are just bickering amongst themselves. You have to understand a power structure. What a power structure, that especially when it's absolute power, these guys will always eat each other until there's no one left. Because even if there's 10, 20 people in charge, they're going to fight amongst themselves until that one, the ninth guy eats the eighth guy, who eats the seventh guy. I mean, that's how it works. They really don't have a plan, I think, going forward. They don't know what to do because they're going on, like, the momentum and the way the country's going, it's uneasy. When they're able to control the narrative, it works. They're not controlling anything right now. You have so much corruption going on, you have to cover your holes, okay? So if you're in a government, especially like, we'll take New York City, for example, Eric Adams, who's probably the single most corrupt guy to ever be mayor.
Sal, stop it there. We're gonna let you start with New York City and its corruption as a microcosm for what's going on throughout the country. We got to take a break. We're gonna be back with after this with more TNT Radio.
People might tell you that Lyme doesn't kill people, but we are losing people. People disappear from their lives.
One of the scariest things that I had to deal with was memory loss. Not just like I don't remember what I did last week, but like I forgot all the words to my own songs. I remember going to my primary care physician and he was like, you are 100% healthy, there's nothing wrong with you. And my response was, that's impossible, I'm dying.
I wasn't working, so I had all of these hospital bills. We had to move out of our home and move into my parents' basement.
I just wish I could have truly been present in those big moments, you know, when she took her first steps or, you know, her first day of preschool. Lyme is such a thief and it goes undetected because no one is looking for it.
For more information and prevention tips, go to projectlyme.org.
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is him. Every day he's hungry for something. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then it kind of starts to work itself out.
Clear and concise. This is the Jason Burmis Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
We are with Sal Greco. Before the break, you were getting into New York City and Eric Adams specifically. We were sold Eric Adams as this NYPD cop that was sick of the system. He didn't like what he said. He was going on Tucker Carlson, right? He was going to fix the whole situation. And then he just went full board. I hate to call it even a leftist agenda because it's really a globalist agenda at the end of the day. But not only has he not fixed anything, things have gotten extremely worse under Eric Adams, who was already super corrupt, or they wouldn't have put him in the first place, Sal. Go ahead.
Yeah, Eric Adams, listen, we're going to go back to when he was a transit cop, all right? And he started this group. He was in a transit guardian group. It's a fraternal organization. It was pretty big around the country. And this is at the round of time when he met with Al Sharpton, who, by the way, was a convicted criminal at this time. Later on,
and an FBI informant. On tape FBI informant, everybody, in a crazy, I believe, white cowboy suit. You can't make this up. Go ahead, Sal. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Now, Al Sharpton was convicted the next day on the stairs of City Hall. There was Eric Adams, okay? So he wanted to build his platform because he thought he was going to become like the next Malcolm X. That's what his vision was. So he became this caricature of the guy in the Guardians, which he couldn't even take because there were two different groups. You had the Transit Guardians, which was the New York's police. The police department used to have two groups. It was Transit, which was the subway, housing, and then the NYPD, and it all merged. later on, I believe in 93. But at this time, he was in part of the Guardians, of the Transit Guardians. And then he hijacked, he tried to take over the NYPD Guardians. That didn't work. He then became the Grand Council Guardians, which led to the 100 law enforcement blacks. Okay. Now that group, this is what he used to springboard himself into a political life, because he always wanted to be a bigger, you know, bigger figure than he was in the NYPD. And as a cop, Jason, this guy didn't do anything. He was very much catered. He was hanging out with his pal, David Dinkins. He keeps referencing this guy. He was the worst mayor before Bill de Blasio came. And now it's actually Eric Adams, who's emulating his pal. And he was taken care of. Okay. He was nowhere to be found out there in the street. The guy had no idea what was going on in the street as a cop. So he ends up retiring. He wins. He goes to the state Senate. And the first thing he says on the floor when he first gets elected and he's out there and he's giving his opening speeches, show me the money. That's what Eric Adams has always been about from his days as a cop. There's so many stories of him with the Guardians and things he did with the money over there. Okay. That's why he wanted to be part of that. So fast forward to where he is now as the mayor. This guy, the best dressed mayor since Jimmy Walker, the most corrupt mayor since William O'Dwyer, and the most incompetent mayor since Bill de Blasio. Swagger man with no plan, Eric Adams. And we could get into a lot of things, the way he's running the city, this nightclub he's involved with Conce Frito there in the Bronx, which is a hangout for all the Carl Hasty and Letitia James and all these characters, which I get into on my own show. I did a whole expose about it. You have the migrant crisis that he's fueling himself. He's helping it. He's helping it go along. You know, he's very slick. So you got to understand Eric. He's a high-level street guy. He speaks like a high-level street guy. If you watch the Supreme Team documentary, and the short thing I could tell you about the Supreme Team was they were a gang that was in South Jamaica, Queens. They were involved in drugs in the late 70s, early 80s, late 80s. And when Officer Byrne in the NYPD was murdered and assassinated in his car, it was one of the associates of this group that murdered him. And that started the whole crackdown on African-Americans all across this country for drugs. They were just locking people up for anything. They were raiding everybody. And then the 94 crime bill happened. It was because of this group and their associates. All right. You can watch the documentary. Guess who's in the documentary, Jason? Eric Adams. And he's speaking very glowingly about gang members who themselves today will tell you after they did their prison time, don't do this. It's not worth it. But Eric walks around like he thinks he's either Frank Lucas or maybe he thinks he's John Gotti. Because in the documentary, you'll see the Supreme Team on the walls. They were acting like they're the Gambino crime family because that's what they emulated. So this is Eric Adams' mindset. You have to understand how he thinks. He dresses nice. He's emulating what they were doing. And now he just became a politician and he's a high level street guy. That's how he thinks. If you watch him closely, you'll see what I'm talking about. And he double talks and he's very charming, but is a lot of bluster and there's no substance. He'll say one thing, he'll never do it. But you're going to get sucked in because he's got the charisma. But he never follows through with anything. And by the way, he calls himself, let's see his monikers, the Joe Biden of Brooklyn, the mayor of nightlife, the hip hop mayor. My favorite, he calls himself ball headed, earring wearing swagger man. That's another one. But we call him the swagger man with no plan. So I don't know. This guy is a character. And now he's all involved in a federal investigation himself where, yes, Jason, he is the target. He just doesn't want to tell you that. Nobody gets their electronics taken in the middle of the street and you're not the target of anything. They won't be coming over to you, like basically, you know, patting you down with your NYPD detail watching this while you're just sitting there going, oh, I'm not the target of this. They want my fundraisers and we're cooperating. No, they're not. You're not cooperating. You're the target. And when you least expect it, they'll come for you and indict you. That's how that's read. And he's got all kinds of problems. Fundraising. There's the latest one was the one with Turkey. So, you know, Jason, he's got advisors around him. that are involved with, you know, foreign nations. They allegedly there's fundraising, right? They're straw donors, because in New York it's a matching 8-to-1 funds. So city taxpayers, get this, they have to match the 8-to-1 with the money that's being donated to their campaigns. This is a scam in New York State. So for every 250, I think every 8-to-1, so up to $250. So if you donate $4,000 or $2,500 is the max, they get that by the state. So they get straw donors. So what they do is they get these billionaire guys like this guy from China that just pled guilty in a federal case. And he gets his employees to say, okay, you write a check and I'm going to give you the cash for it. And then you expect me to say, Eric Adams has no idea this is going on. Yet he knows this guy and he admits that he knows him. So these are the kind of things that he's involved in. Eric Adams, here's the best one. What happened the other day, Jason? Who got raided? P. Diddy, right? Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy got raided by...
Puff Daddy's a big buddy of Eric Adams, isn't he? He's hip-hop. He's in the club.
Did he not give him the key to the city? I believe it was late October, early November, right before he got raided. Because remember, he's the nightlife mayor, Mr. Comte Sofrito, in the Bronx. That's where he loves to hang out. And Jimmy Rodriguez, who is the creator manager of this place, who's a well-known self-admitted criminal mob associate, what does he do? He's friends with Fat Joe and Peter Guns and all these rapper guys. So I don't know what they're involved in, but I tell you what, that one kind of hit the bell, because he just gave the key to the city to this guy. He's following him around too. This has not been it's not recent. So I don't know what's going on there. A lot of people are making a lot of speculation, but how is it that Eric Adams and friends of Eric Adams all get indicted, all get investigated? Now, half his administration, Jason, this sexual assault claim that he had, we'll go back to when he was in The Guardian. So this woman came out on the Adult Survivors Act, which he was big on. Trump is guilty, right? Even though some woman out of 40 years ago made some claim. And then they said Trump smeared her, remember? So he said, oh, believe all women. He was big when they did that with Cuomo. You know, Cuomo was guilty of what he did. And now it's Eric Adams. And now he says, I don't recall this woman who clearly worked with him. She was a police administrative assistant in transit. She worked with him and a member of the same Transit Guardian Society. So he knows her. Now he's saying he doesn't know her. I don't know her. This is not me. You don't know that, Jason. And technically, be careful, because she has one picture. He's smearing her. He's doing exactly what they said Trump was doing. This is Eric Adams, okay? So the city, there's a law called General Municipal Law 50K2. What it is they have to give you an interview and find out if the city's going to indemnify you in these cases. Now, Jason, rape, sexual assault, sexual harassment does not fall under the scope of a police officer or city employee's duty, on or off duty. It's also prohibited conduct. And it doesn't benefit the job by you sexually assaulting people. So the city cannot, by the rules, indemnify him. So how are they indemnifying him, Jason? That means that the city right now, the New York City taxpayers, which is, I full requested this stuff. They, you know, of course, they're going to deny me because it's me. And I want to know the legal justification for this, because the city taxpayers deserve to know why they're funding this guy's sexual assault. This guy's a legal defense fund, for Christ's sake. That is not fall under the scope of duties, whether it was 30 years ago, 10 minutes ago. And now, Jason, there's more. Because now a sergeant came out and she was sexually harassed by who else? Timothy Pearson, his right-hand man. He works for him as a deputy mayor, okay? And this is his right-hand man, is a former NYPD inspector. He himself has domestic violence problems, okay? So this guy was rubbing this woman's shoulders, being very persuasive and trying to touch her and harass her, get him to drive him. So now she complained for the last year and a half to the NYPD and to other people about his behavior. And what they do, they blackballed her. They never investigated anything. She retired and she sued him. But he's involved. The chief of department, Jeffrey Badgley, is involved, and some inspector from internal affairs. So now the next question, which they asked at his press conference to the head of corporation counsel, his law department, are you going to cover their sexual harassment and assault case? And they're saying, well, we're reviewing it, because That is a new standard, Jason. I'm telling you, it doesn't fall into the scope of duties, and the taxpayers deserve to know this. And by the way, there's a case with the police commissioner upcoming. He's a witness in a case which involves sexual harassment by one of his pals, another policeman. He's an aide. He worked for community affairs. And it's a woman. Her name's Latina Brown. She, you know, full disclosure, she's a friend of mine. Her article was in the New York Post. And now this guy, Brian Adams, works for the police department. He cannot be represented because he sexually harassed and assaulted this woman. So how is the job indemnifying him? There's a new pattern here, Jason. It's, well, previously we don't cover for this, but if you're a friend of Eric Adams, we will. So explain to me, Jay, how are you going to explain to the taxpayers how they're covering Eric Adams and his friends for sexual assault and abuse, okay? But in the past, even Jeffrey Madry, in a case a few years ago, was not covered by the city because it doesn't fall under the scope of duties. And here's the best part, Jason. These people I just mentioned, Timothy Pearson, Brian Adams, Philip Banks was Pearson's boss. He's in that lawsuit. Jeffrey Madry, Eric Adams, Eddie Cabano's brother owns what place? Consafrito, and they hang out with Jimmy Rodriguez there. It's the Consafrito crew. God knows what they're doing at that nightclub, Jason.
God knows indeed. And you talk about the fact that the taxpayers are paying for this. I mean, right. That is a completely egregious. Most people have no idea that's going on. And again, that's the inverse of what we've seen in Trump in New York. Not that the taxpayers should pay for him, but he's now spent over $100+ million in these legal cases. And he's supposed to pay out what to E. Jean Carroll, a woman that went on Anderson Cooper and said that I think women think rape is sexy. I mean, that's almost verbatim. He's got to pay that woman, what was it, $89 or $95 million? And when she took her bat-ass crazy arness over to Rachel Maddow, she's like, we're going apartment hunting. We're going to go shopping and get this, and we're going to get a condo. I mean, it's insanity. It's absolute. And again, who's more popular? Donald Trump or Eric Adams? Not even close. But at the same time, yeah. I do wonder why a guy that corrupt, who obviously is installed and promoted because he's that corrupt, that they are investigating him. Obviously, he got off the leash somewhere. Was it even the commentary that we can't take anymore here in New York City? Not that they're doing anything about it. Like, you know, the $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 on a debit card. Stay in this hotel, that hotel. Hey, we'll bus you up to New York State, upstate. You'll work for Tyson Foods for $16.25 an hour, and we'll get you a lawyer, and you'll criminally stay here forever. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. You talk about saying one thing and doing another. Why do you think the feds are after him? Is that just in case? And do you think that if there is something there, maybe it goes nowhere? They rely on the sexual harassment stuff and they say it can't be proven, but he does a Cuomo and he steps down.
I just recited his whole history. They've been watching him for a long time. I mean, this guy's the Brooklyn Borough president, did some skit on a Turkish television movie or something where he's taking bribes from two Turkish guys, which is exactly what they're actually alleging happened. This is Eric. I mean, he is so egregious that it's just, you can't ignore it. I mean, it's just, how do you ignore this? And I think the problem here, Jason, is too much going on. You know, I've uncovered this Consafrito scam where they operated illegally. They had a shed, a party shed. This place had no certificate of occupancy. They have a liquor license to this day. I don't know why it hasn't been taken, but I can tell you why. And they're a fire trap too, Jason. So they had 19 fire violations. They were never shut down. It was a fire trap. They've had NYPD parties. Letitia James's party there. They all have these fundraisers where there's straw donor allegations and cash donations. But, you know, and then again, these perverts, what it looks like, these perverts all party there. But there's more, because who goes there? Carl Hastie, the assembly speaker, he's always there. Letitia James always there. The Bronx district attorney's always there. She had a fundraiser when she won, but she got elected. She was there that night. Okay. You have the majority of the assembly in New York State, the city council, there's many city councilmen. Ralph Salamanca's always there. This guy's in charge of land use. So how did he even get this place? Because it's a special place, this where Consafrito is on Commerce Avenue. It's a property that's owned by the city but subleased for like a dollar. It goes back to a 1970 law. And they built this shed illegally, which just to put something up, you would need years and get approved by like 10 different commissions. These are all questions that nobody's asking, but clearly, without their political affiliations and associations and connections, Concert Freedom won't even exist today. But meanwhile, Jason, the normal guy who's a business or a pizzeria, he gets a visit and they shut them down and say, oh, I found a cockroach on your floor. This guy, on the other hand, was a fire trap. Oh, it's okay. We have Letitia James and Darcell Clark in the building. Who's going to prosecute us? So that's a scandal that is like just bubbling. It's like a can, you know, like a garbage can. It's got so much stuff, it's going to explode, you know? So that's what's going on with Concert Freedom. You can check it out on my show. Go to Del Sal Greco on YouTube and Rumble, and you can check it out. There's a whole expose about that, and there's a couple other shows as well.
Sal Greco, thank you so much for joining us. You are always a fun guest to have on. We're not talking about the funnest of topics, but the truth of the matter is that these politicians often do act like gangsters, and it's not just playing dress up, folks. The corruption is real, and really they are the high level gangster. Maybe not at the highest levels of the predator class, but certainly middle management. We got to take a break. When we come back, the second hour of the show is going to be a banger. We got Steve Poikonen of Slow News Day and AM Wake Up. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT Radio after this.